Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Entering the final hour of the show, Matt and I with you for another 45 minutes or so. Then it's time for a Buckeye Roundtable. That comes your way at 6. Indians and the Chicago White Sox coming your way just after 8 o'clock tonight as the Tribe tries to make it 13 in a row. But we shift gears now, and we focus our attention on what's going on the big screen. And in order to do that, we welcome in our buddy Al Harris, our Hollywood insider. Al, what's going on, my man?
Oh, you know, just enjoying hail-like weather in September in Tennessee. This weather's getting a little out of hand out here.
You know, you don't have it as bad as some of the folks a little further south of you, but yes, the rain, the hail, all that good stuff is no bueno, no question about that. Speaking of no bueno, my friend, the worst Labor Day weekend at the box office in 17 years. I mean, it seems like this summer in general, we kind of figured it wasn't going to be great. I'm not sure that anybody figured it would be this bad, and I know we've gotten to some of the factors in the past, but I want to look forward. I want to look past that. Do you see it getting better throughout the rest of the month?
Here's the thing about that. I think that is a little misleading for Labor Day, because there wasn't any big things that came out, any wide releases. So to say that it was a bad weekend is true. It was an awful weekend. But there was nothing new to really bring people out. So I think it was just they kind of phoned this weekend in. I don't know if they just assumed Labor Day was going to be big or what. But this is one of the few weekends I remember in a long time where there wasn't at least one new, like, wide release. So it's strange. It's a bad weekend for sure. And, I mean, this summer hasn't been good anyways. But I think the fact that, as you said, this is the worst Labor Day ever is a little misleading because there wasn't that big standout. And, as we said, I do see it getting better. First of all, you know, once the cold weather hits, people like going to the movie theater more. The big prestige pictures come out, and you have movies that have had, like, a lot of build-up, a lot of publicity, like It coming out this week. Next weekend, you have Mother, which is an Aronofsky horror film, which should, I don't know if it'll do great in the box office, but I think it'll do well in award season with Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. And I think it'll bring people in the weekend after that. You have Kingsman, Battle of the Sexes. And then it just keeps on going. Blade Runner is going to be a huge weekend, I would assume. And so I think it's going to get much better. But then again, who knows? I mean, I honestly thought this summer would be a lot better. But you're forgetting, spring was really strong. So, and as we've talked before, so I think, you know, once the fall months hit, once the weather gets colder, you'll see the numbers pop back up. And the one factor we really haven't talked much about is how streaming has really been affecting everything. And I think that's a huge factor. And I don't think that's going to change, especially with, you know, outlets like Netflix and other places releasing first-run movies. Like, Okja is one of the best films I've seen this year, and that was released only on Netflix. So that, I think the main factors, as we talked about, are there was no big release, streaming, and just the content of what's been out this summer. And I think the content will get better. I think there will be bigger releases, colder weather. But yeah, the streaming thing is still going to be a factor, and we'll see how that affects the winter months.
Sure, that makes sense. Let me ask you this, though. You brought up Mother. It's got a tremendous cast. You've already mentioned two. I believe Michelle Pfeiffer's in that movie as well. I like her in a lot of stuff. But what is it about? I've seen the previews, and I can't seem to figure out what this movie is about in the least.
You wouldn't be the only one. This is,
all right, I just was hoping.
Aronofsky's a guy that really keeps his, you know, what his films are about very quiet and doesn't let a lot out. But from the trailer, from the images that they've been showing, it looks very much akin to his last kind of psychological thriller, which was Black Swan. It feels very much in that, like, at least tone-wise, in that space. And then it definitely, like I said, I'm not exactly sure what it's about, but it has definitely that tone, that vibe, but looks a little scarier. And no doubt it's going to be, like, immaculately directed. It's going to be shot incredibly well. it's going to be a fantastic movie to watch, whether it's the content's good or not. It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch, and I'm looking forward to that. And I don't do horror films, and this one looks scary, but I will do this one.
Well, right. Even though you don't do horror films, and just out of curiosity, would you consider this weekend to kind of be the big kickoff to the fall season of horror films? Because you mentioned It comes out this weekend, Mother the week after that. I saw something about a reboot of The Nightmare on Elm Street maybe coming out a little bit later on. But, you know, we're getting into that season.
Yeah, we are. And but you also had Annabelle come out, and obviously with Halloween coming up, you're going to see a lot, like, more stuff. There's the the Saw spinoff movie Jigsaw coming out Halloween weekend. Yeah, and I would say this was the big hiccup. I think maybe Annabelle was like the first like big horror to come out, and then because I don't consider Get Out or anything really like a real horror film, even though it had a horror element. But I think it's going to be a big one, and I'm curious to see how that goes. I've heard a few good things coming out already, and we'll see how it goes.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I meant to throw this question at you last week, but we ran out of time. A couple weeks back, MoviePass mentioned that they're going to offer a service of $10 per month to see movies that would limit you to one movie per day. But for 1 month, you'd only pay $10. Now, that would exclude you from the 3D, the IMAX experience. But still, when you consider how much it costs to go see a movie these days, $10 per month sounds like a really good idea. Seems like it would certainly be cost effective. But what are your thoughts on this whole idea? You think this is something that's going to pick up?
I think it's a great idea. But I do think it might be more of a niche thing. I think it definitely... it's going to be something that you'll see a lot in, like, L.A., New York, where movies are. I mean, I go to the Arclight, which is the big theater in L.A. I'm paying $16 a movie. So, yeah, I'll pay $10 a month to see, you know, first-run movies as much as I can. And in the big cities where, you know, movies are, like, a big thing, everyone goes. And I think the problem is those are the cities not being hurt as much with people going to the theater. The smaller towns that have stuff that are probably, like, people aren't going out as much. I don't know if that's really going to help them so I think it all depends on like which theaters are allowing it, which, you know, is it all movies? I think we need to know more, but it's definitely a good plan to get people in the theater more. And I hope it works because that's one thing I definitely don't want to see die is the small movie theater, especially like the art house theaters or that kind of stuff. That stuff I've enjoyed going to, like the Cedar Lee, since I was 10 years old. And I think it'd be a shame if that industry does die. And I, even though I do like the streaming and I do like the idea of seeing it, you know, at my home, it's a lot easier. There's something about seeing a movie in a big screen that just never gets out of style. And even in LA, you see like old movies on the big screen. It's fantastic. So hopefully this keeps them around for a little longer. And I think it's a good kind of Hail Mary to save this industry. And it sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about the dollar value there for you specifically. You just mentioned some places that you're going to, it's costing you $16 a flick. Mm-hmm. But if you're only doing $10 a month, it really kind of seems like a steal of a deal. Now, look, a lot of folks won't do that because they just don't have the opportunity to go see movies anymore because they just get so busy. Now, me, I'd like to think I get to the theater probably once a weekend if I'm lucky. And I mean, and even so, you know, if that's as often as I'm going, it's costing me close to $10 every time I go there. So for a guy like me, yeah, this would certainly be beneficial. But you're right. That's one of the common pleas is that, look, I can't go to movies anymore because it's just way too expensive. So you'd think that on the surface, this just looks like a wonderful idea.
It does. The problem is it just sounds too cheap to me. And I don't know how, like, that just sounds too good to be true. And, you know, usually when it does, it is. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it sounds like something I would definitely be interested in.
Well, I want to ask you about, you already alluded to this, but I want to ask you about the Battle of the Sexes movie coming out later on this month. Apparently, it's even getting some early Oscar love. Any thoughts on this flick?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a, you know, with a lot of the blowback of feminism and everything, with like Trump in office, I'm going to stay away from politics as much as I can on this. But, I think it's a perfect time for this type of movie, which is the story of Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, who in the 70s decided to play tennis against each other in what was called the Battle of the Sexes. But it's directed by the same people who directed Little Miss Sunshine, and then a movie called Ruby Sparks that was woefully underseen, was a lot of fun, kind of quirky, independent, but it was a good movie. And they're really good filmmakers when they get with stories like this. And I think this is perfectly in their wheelhouse. And from what I've seen in the trailer and from early reviews I've read, which is are really strong on this movie, I think you could really see a, if not a Best Picture nominated, which is always tough, I think you could definitely see Emma Stone be nominated for Best Actress and possibly Steve Carell for Best Actor. But he also has another movie coming out called Last Flag Flying, by directed by Richard Linklater, which he's supposed to be really good in too, so he might cancel himself out. But I would not be surprised at all if Emma Stone is nominated for Best Actress.
Yeah, it's awfully intriguing. And again, that's part of a month that could certainly give us, at least to some degree, a little bit of a resurgence at the box office.
And the one thing I'll say too is I think that is the first movie coming out in the fall that really has a good chance to be nominated for some big Oscars, at least in the fall. And then that should probably start off the season, because then you'll have Mother's the week beforehand. But I don't know if that's going to be a genre play or not. I really need to know more about it. But I think Battle of the Sexes really starts the award season, if you ask me.
All right, my man. Well, we're going to cut you loose on this. Every week we ask for your picks to click, and every week you deliver. So what do you have in the hopper for us this week? What is it that we need to watch over the next few days here and into the weekend?
All right. There's certain weeks we don't get to this, and usually there's not a lot of good stuff. And recently there hasn't been. I've kind of been, picking things like I didn't necessarily love, but this week is completely different. This is a fantastic week, and it really starts, the fall season premieres, which is, when network TV gets back everything. But I have two of my favorite comedies are coming back for season fours. There's You're the Worst on FX, which has been one of the funniest, weirdest, raunchiest shows on TV. That's on FXX on Wednesday. And then BoJack Horseman comes back for its fourth season, which is a great animated comedy on Netflix. And then, Top of the Lake, which was one of my favorite underseen miniseries on Sundance. It came out a couple years ago, starring Elizabeth Moss. That new season comes out. It's another miniseries on Sunday with Nicole Kidman adding it. And also coming out that day, I'm not a big Seth MacFarlane fan, but his new show, which is a spoof of Star Trek called The Orville, which looks kind of funny. Like I said, I'm not a big fan, but I'm sure it'll do well. That comes out on Fox. But for me, my pick to click for this week, which is a fantastic week, as I said, is The Deuce, which comes out on HBO Sunday night. Anyone who knows me knows The Wire is my favorite show of all time. I think it's just head and shoulders above anything else I've seen. And The Deuce is by the creator of The Wire, David Simon. And it takes the same kind of topics he dealt with in Baltimore with the drug trade, and he moves it to 1970s New York and basically the start of the porn industry in Times Square. And it follows a bunch of random characters, the seedy areas of New York. It stars James Franco playing twins and Maggie Gyllenhaal. And everything I've heard so far says it's up there with The Wire. It's going to be great. And so that's my pick to click. The Deuce this Sunday on HBO, I think, will be fantastic.
Very nice. So The Deuce on HBO is Al Harris's ace in the hole. Well done, my friend. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the week, and we'll do it again next Monday.
All right. Sounds fantastic. I'll see you guys. Have a good one.